testify that the most intense danger that's facing our Ummah today, one of the most intense danger that we are facing today, is the phenomenon of at-takfiriyin or at-takfiriyun. At-takfiriyun is an expression that developed itself lately with a strong evidence in the last 10 years. Prior to that, it did exist. As a matter of fact, for those of you, the brothers and sisters who witnessed the discussion that we had yesterday with the distinguished guests, and Dr. Al-Asi, I remember, also focused on this issue, that this phenomenon is not new. It was not born yesterday. It has its historical origin. And he gave an example, Al-Khawarij, those who revolted against the Imam Ali alayhi salam in the early stages of history in Islam. I want to shed the light on a few points in order to know what need to be done, because this is an immense danger. It is, I call it, and al-ulama call it, and the decision makers call it, yani, existential danger. Yani, the danger that we are facing against the takfiris, if you do not do anything about it, your very existence is in danger. Because they are open, they are clear. Their agenda is widely known. It's not hidden. A lot of times, early in history and 40, 50 years ago, you would sit with a person who has the mentality of the takfiris. He has it. He has it in his heart. But at that time, maybe he did not dare to make it clear or to let it go openly. But now, it is open. In the news, in the media, in the social media, in the TV stations, stations that are justifying the terrorist act of these groups, and they change their names, and they change the expression. So basically, this phenomenon that developed to that level, where it became extremely dangerous, and if you give them the opportunity, they will come and they will kill you. They will kill your village, they will kill your city, they will destroy your city, they will destroy your mosque. There is no sanctity, there is no holiness. For you, there are no limits. Because of their ignorance and because of the ideological blinded thoughts, they think that you are nadira in your existence. You are a negative entity of living. You need to be eliminated. And if they do eliminate you, they are doing this for God's sake. It has an ideological impact. It has an ideological connection. I remember about in the close to 1987 or 88, when I was at the University of California in Berkeley, I met a couple of those people, and they were coming from Asia to study in the university. And when I were doing my salat, they did not join the salat once. They knew I'm a follower of the school of Ahlul Bayt. They sat on the side, and we had the opportunity to converse with them. I intentionally came to one of them, who happened to be a graduate student. And he belongs to an organization called Jaysh Sahaba. I'm sure you know about this organization. So he was looking at me with a frown face, very upset. And I said, Assalamu alaikum. He did not respond. And I said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So, can I help you? Can I be at your service? He looks at me and says, are you a Rafidhi? I said, excuse my ignorance, what does that mean? At that time, I was not exposed to such an expression. I read it in history. Are you a Rafi? I said, what does that mean? He says, are you a Shi'i? I said, if you mean I am a Shi'i, that I love Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, yes, I am. Aren't you? He says, Astaghfirullah, A'udhu Billah, A'udhu Billah, no, I cannot pray behind you. I said, why? He said, because you are a kafir. And second, it is haram for me to have a conversation with you. I said, it is haram to have a conversation with me? He says, yes. I said, why? He says, because our ulama strongly gave this fatwa. At that time, Ibn Baz gave this fatwa. Ibn Baz, you know Ibn Baz? You know who is Ibn Baz, so. And I said, why is it haram for you to converse with me? He says, because you have a magic under your tongue. You put a spell on the Muslims. I gave you this example in order to tell you the ideological blind faith element that they believe. They take all what they believe at a face value, and the reason they do that because they learn in their schools that there is no room and space in their perception about this deen for al-aql, yani for the power of reason. Yani the lack of rationality in their fiqh, in their ideology, because even in their ideology, when you come and one of them asks about something that does not make sense, what would be the response? Don't argue. It is not good to ask. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءٍ تَبْدُوا لَكُمْ تُسِرْكُمْ. They bring this ayah to say, oh believers, don't ask too many questions. If you ask and get the answer will not be good for you. So it's haram for you to ask. Take it as a face value. Accept what Islam tells you, do not ask. There is no rationality in the process. So you would see in the madhab of Al-Wahhabiyya, which is the leading ideological ideological school of thought that promote at-takfir, al-aql, common sense, reason is not a source of tashriya. It is not a source of jurisprudence. You look at all al-madhab. Look at al-madhab al-Hanafi, al-madhab al-Hanbali, al-madhab al-Maliki. You look at madhab al-Ja'fari. You look at the Sufis. You look at Ikhwan al-Safa, you look at the Al-Mu'tazila, you look at Al-Ash'ara. They all debate the issues, Islamic issues, whether it's historical, philosophical, economical, with a reference called Ad-Dalil, the evidence. And whether they like it or not, they themselves, Al-Wahhabis, they get involved in using Ad-Dalil to give you the evidence that they are blind and they are ignorant. They use al-dalil al-aqli, the rational common sense, to prove that they cannot count on it in order to believe. It doesn't make sense. We have a problem with that. That would lead to what? Because in Islam, the very basic concept for you as a Muslim, you are not to believe blindly in Islam. At-tawheed and an-nubuwa and an-adl and the adjectives of Allah and the asma' Allah and al-ma'ad, yawm al-qiyamah, the resurrection, al-wilayah, all of these are ideological concepts. As a Muslim, regardless of your school of thought, you are responsible in front of Allah to believe in it based on al-hujjah, based on al-dalil. Otherwise, why would Allah want to punish you if you don't believe in it? What is the difference between us and other religious ideology when they tell you just don't ask, don't argue, don't ask for any evidence, just believe. Believe. If you believe in Jesus, you will go to heaven. But tell me about the nature of Jesus. Don't talk, don't ask. Right? Or if you believe in the Mahatma or the Guru or whatsoever. No, Islam, it's important. There is a way of thinking that Allah loves. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring your evidence if you are truthful. So what's needed in Islam? You need to be truthful. And in spreading this truth, you need to bring the evidence. So the way you need to converse with those people, you bring them to the fact that the very basic pillar of their claim is wrong. It's on wrong foundation, because in Islam, if you are a Muslim and you utter الشهادتين by saying أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, you are a Muslim by definition. Historically, among all the school of thoughts, this is the way the Muslims' karama and sanctity and holiness preserved itself. And in our school of thought and the other four major Sunni school of thought, they believe the same. You declare al-shahada, the minimum reference to you for being a Muslim, you utter al-shahada, and that will save your life and save your money and save your dignity from being attacked or stripped. And even if you do not recite it, even if you are a kafir, even if you are an existentialist, even if you are, you don't know what you are, even if you are an atheist, well, who gives the right for anyone to take your life by force, or to confiscate your property, or to destroy your village, or to kill your children in the most barbaric criminal manner? So ideologically speaking, you need to educate ourselves to stand for those theories. The most important element to stand against them, I am going to tell you openly, it is our wajib to prepare even to stand for them, even when we need to fight them, because you are defending yourself. Look at the villages right now in Lebanon, in the eastern border of Syria. Look what's happening in Iraq, look what's happening in Muhammad, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Lebanon. These people, they gained the power military-wise, and they have a military equipment, and they have financial support, and their ideological, blind ideology made them collect themselves from every country in the globe under the banner of what's called Al-Khilafah. To them, Al-Khilafah is a holy concept. They don't want to discuss with you what are the requirements of Al-Khilafah. Who is the Khalifa? Who gives the legitimacy for a leader to be a leader? You're not allowed even to question this. Look, right now, as I speak to you, who are their ulama? You don't know them. They are hidden. Who are their maraja? Can you have a conversation with Al-Baghdadi? Can you send him an email? Can you ask him a question? Can you debate him? Can you sit with their ulama to debate? No, their belief that the closest distance between all two points is a short line, kill and eliminate from the same world. Ideological mishap. Terrible misconception. We need to educate ourselves to defend our deen, that the basic belief, whoever recites the shahadatayn is a Muslim. In our school of thought, it is true. In the other school of thought, it's true. There might be a situation where a Muslim requires a capital punishment for what he does. But that does not make him a kafir. Does not make him an infidel. Does not require anybody to kill him. So there is no room for logic and rationality, and that is a serious problem. We need to talk to those people and educate those people that the best being that Allah created and the best part that Allah created in the human is al-aql. Al-aql. Because every taklif, every ritual that Allah asks you to do, it is required that you have what in order to do it? Aql. If you have no aql, there is no taklif. No responsibility. You are not a mukallaf. You are not responsible. We will not hold you accountable. Neither Allah will hold you accountable if you lose what? The power of reason. So the power of reason is the most important thing. And this is why, for those of you who always argue with us, what if I drink a little? I drink a little, you know, just a little wine, you know, rejuvenate our soul. It's simple. Al-aql is a holy organ in you. Allah does not want to allow you to alter it in any manner. Because al-aql is the power, the rational power that distinguishes you between the animals and the super creature that you are. So, ideologically, we need to educate ourselves in order to respond to these crazy claims, okay? And then, do they have any limits? Now they are saying, we are defending a sunnah. The takfiris in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, they say, they claim, we are defending the sunnah, and the sunnah. But statistically speaking, the highest number of their victims are Ahlul Sunnah. You look at statistics, don't think. I want to educate myself and educate you on the issue. First of all, let me be clear. As a Muslim activist, as a student and as a scholar, I do not regard any Sunni as my enemy. This is not what Allah said. And this is not what Al-Quran said. Yes. We have our differences and our perception about certain beliefs is different. But my enemy is the enemy of Allah. My enemy is the enemy of Muhammad or Ahlul Bayt. My enemy is the enemy of the truth. My enemy is the enemy of peace. My enemy is the enemy of those people who want to take an act of aggression and violence as a way of life in order to impose their agenda, whether they are individual, whether they are under the religious umbrella, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, it doesn't make any difference to me. Oppression has no color. Injustice has no madhab. Violence and killing and criminal acts, it is above all religion and it's not related to any school of thought. It is just rejected by everyone. For this reason, we need to understand that at this particular moment, I'm going to have to go backward instead of going forward. I would ask you to support every effort to stand against those people. And if you have the ability to train yourself to fight in order to defend yourself, that is an act of intelligence. It is not an act of violence. This is the place. This is the place where we need to stand against these people. In Iraq, if it was not for the fatwa of Ayatollah Sistani, Baghdad would have fallen. Gone. Karbala would have been annihilated. And Najaf would have been destroyed. And thousands of people, Sunnis and Shias, Christians, Armenians, Assyrians, Turkmenians, Kurds, you name it. Yazidis, Yazidis, no hurma. They're already gone, killed, slaughtered. They are killing children, they are raping women while the rest of the world is watching. And these are the forces that the colonial superpower are using them for their own political agenda. This is why they are powerful. Don't tell me that God is with them, as they claim. In the battlefield, and let me tell you something, I want to tell you the truth. As a Muslim activist, do not tell me Hezbollah is a terrorist organization when Hezbollah is fighting ISIS and Jabhat al-Nusra to defend the whole country, including the Christians, including the Kuffar, including the Druze, including the Shia, including the Sunnis, including the American embassy in Beirut. One of the most ironic things, Hezbollah is defending the presence, I'm not saying they intentionally is doing that, they are defending every embassy in Beirut, every foreign embassy in Beirut. While the rest of the country singers are singing, actors are acting. You've got wonderful festivals in Baalbek and doing this, and we call them terrorists. And we call ISIS terrorists. We support ISIS, and we stand against them. Why? For the sake of the Israelis. I want to tell you something. How much time? Who is supporting ISIS in the world today? You go to Golan Heights. The Israelis and the Israeli army is supporting ISIS and supporting Jihad al-Nusra. They give them weapons, they give them the intelligence, they give them all the support that they need. In Iraq, who will be safe from their attacks? It is very important to know that we need, you need in your social network to speak based on rationality and to speak based on common sense that we are not kuffar, we are not going to be anyone to perform a takfir against anyone, and you should be active politically. Like, for example, with the last minute that I have, I want to focus on Yemen. And what is the relationship of at-Takfiris to Yemen? Prior to the war, the whole world were saying, watch for these terrorists. And there was an American base in Yemen hitting the terrorists, quote-unquote, Al-Qaeda and ISIS every once in a while. And yet, Saudi Arabia attacks in Yemen for no justified reason. And you look at the reason, the most ridiculous reason you can ever think. Why? Same ideology. The same ideology. If you do not agree on what I believe, you shall be killed. They attack Yemen. Systematic destruction of a country. Oh, they are not Arab, they are pro-Iran. If the Yemenis are not the Arabs, then who are the Arabs? Have you looked at their poetry? Have you looked at their language? Have you looked about their tribes? Tribal Yemenis are al-Arab al-Abhah. And they attack Yemen. And the whole world is watching. And the whole world is what? And then all of a sudden, who is supporting the opposition against the Yemenis people? Saudi Arabia gave the weapon to ISIS and gave the weapon to Al-Qaeda and allowed them to occupy the bases. Openly, what do we respond and how do we respond? The best example, I finalize this, this subject needs not 18 minutes. It needs more than that, but I summarize it with one thing to give you a simple example. There was a terrorist operation, criminal one, in the country of Kuwait, where a stupid idiot walks into where? Into the mosque. On what day? Yawmul Jum'ah. What salat? Salatul Jum'ah. And he stood, according to the camera, and he detonated himself and the bomb and killed all these mu'mineen and killed all al-musallin. In what state? Were they standing? They were doing rukuh? No. They were in a state of sujood. All the people in the mosque were in state of sujood in order to inflict the heaviest casualties. The way the country responded is a wonderful way. The people of Kuwait came all together. The next day, rebuilt the mosque and they did Salatul Wahda. Salat, unities, Sunni, Shi'is, Ababis, Hanbalis, Malikis, Qadiris, Sufis. And I have to give the credit even to Al-Amir himself, regardless of the motives. He came into the mosque. And you have seen a wonderful unity that diffused al-fitna. We wish and we want and we hope that in every country something like that happens. Finally, I want you, I will make a personal appeal to every one of you. Expand your network with the rest of the Muslims. Do not isolate yourself. The Muslim is Afro-Muslim, the brother of the Muslim. Extend your network of connection even with the non-Muslim because you have what it takes to defend your deen. Your deen is the most logical religion in the world. It is a common sense if you are young in the university or a student in the school or high school. Do not feel inferior and do not feel the peer pressure. You have what it takes. Allah gave you a very valuable ideology. even the non-Muslim needs it more than you do. Stand for what you believe, and they would love you for what you believe, and they will extend their friendship to you. And especially in the high school, when the last generation see you and you, they know what you have, and you are clear on what you stand, they will need you and they will make friendship with you. Extend your network and your relationship with the non-Muslim. I ask all the Muslim organizers in your mosque, in your city, wherever you are, invite the rest of the Sunni brothers. Invite the Christians. Invite the pastors. Extend your relationship to the American Jewish organization and converse and debate and expose yourself to them so you could diffuse the image that they have about Islam from the media, and you would practically will not allow anyone to hijack your religion because you are a representative of your religion. Stand up, talk, converse, invite. Have a lunch with the Muslims. I am not at this particular time in support of closing your horizon and say, oh, I have nothing to do with it. Oh, the Sunni, I'm not going to be with it. Oh, the Sunni boys are Shias, I'm not going to sit with it. I'm not going to marry from you. I'm not going to be friend in this crowd. Be Imam Ali's moment where he opened his heart to everyone. Being an Imam Hussein and an Imam Sadr, did he refuse a debater? Never. That's what we need to be. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the guidance and the knowledge and the wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you and keep you and defend you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put off the light of these takfiris. Their voltage is a little bit high these days, but inshallah, with your effort and with the effort of Al-Mujahideen, their voltage will be diffused. Assalamu alaikum.